Ah, that was great. Thank you all. Thank James for looking after the Sunday school songs. Thank the musicians here for their good work for us, and Casey for projecting it all here. So now I'll turn it over to Cody.
See if I get this on. Hello, testing. Casey's got me. Good, awesome. Not that it's a big point of contention or anything. It's MAC. But anyway, that's okay. Awesome, Mac Clean. Anyway, I'm gonna start with scripture. Actually, I'm gonna start with prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask in Jesus' name that you would just bless what I'm about to say. I hope in Jesus' name to spur on excitement for God's word. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and a loving favor rather than silver and gold. That's Proverbs 22, verse 1. So, it's kind of funny, I was making fun of my name. My name is Cody Sean McLean. I've actually had my name changed several times. I was born, I believe it was Lee Herbert. That would have been my biological father's last name, I believe, because I'm not 100% if it was Green or Herbert or when it was Green or Herbert. In any case, I was born with the name Lee, L-E-E. And when my biological father was out fornicating and being an adulterer, my mother and my grandfather changed my name to McLean shortly within my first year. So I was Lee McLean. And there were several people through preschool years that knew me as Lee McLean. By the time I was 4 years old, my name was changed to Cody. I had the option, actually. They sat down and gave me the option. They said, would you like to be Curtis or Cody? And I said, well, there's lots of Curtises out there. I'll go for Cody. Something like that. Vague memory. 4 years old, choosing my name. So then I was Cody McLean, Cody Sean McLean. When I was six, my mom married, and my last name was known as Islet. Prior to getting married, I actually legally changed my name to Islet so that I would be the same as my brothers and sister and parents. Afterward, and due to some despicable things that happened in my parents' family and consequently trying to protect my own, I went back to McLean. Sometimes I'm embarrassed by it, but then I remember the scripture that says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor rather than silver and gold. So I'm confident in the decision that was made, and I'm grateful for, at least I hope, a good name. But a good name isn't because I use the name McLean or Islet or any other Lee or Cody. I believe it has to do with the testimony. I was born in 1982 on Mother's Day. May 9th, 1982 was Mother's Day. Actually, for years, excused not giving my mom a gift for Mother's Day because I thought that I was the best gift. Pride. Anyway. My mom conceived me a week before her 18th birthday, so she was quite young. And as I mentioned before, my father, I actually never met him, my biological father. He was unfaithful, and my mom gave him a chance to get his life together, and within the first year, he didn't. So my mom took me on a trip to PEI, came back, and found him unfaithful. I actually have several half-brothers and sisters. I've met a couple as kids, just happened to bump elbows with them. I don't really know them. During my mom's pregnancy, I was in my mom's tummy, she was pressured indirectly by my grandfather and my grandmother that if something happened, like getting pregnant, it would destroy their marriage. There was a pressure from friends to abort me. I am very thankful that God intervened and I'm here today. For 7 months, my mom says she managed to hide me. I was 10 pounds, 2 ounces, so it's very hard to believe that she managed to hide me for 7 months, but she said she did. Partway through the arrest, at about 7 months, she ended up leaving my parents' home and took me to was staying at one of her friend's house. And there she was encouraged in scripture. And there she prayed for me that God would protect me until the day that I could make a decision for him. At that time, she wasn't a believer. That came later. But I believe God honored that prayer. When I was almost 12 years old, we were going to United Church. And I don't know what spurred it. I believe it was God's Spirit, actually, that spurred it. I asked to be baptized. Now, in the United Church, that meant a little water on the forehead. Very similar to Catholicism. I did that, but I didn't understand it. I wasn't saved. I didn't understand what it meant to give my life to Jesus Christ. But for some reason, we switched churches, and we went to a Baptist church in Port Alberni. And at that Baptist church in Sunday school, I was taught that trusting in Jesus Christ for my salvation, that's what it meant to be saved. So later on my own time, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I trusted him for my salvation, confessed my sins, and repented of them. I wasn't necessarily able to articulate it as clearly as I am today. But as time went on, I was able to tell you that, like I can clearly now. I was rebaptized probably about 14 one Easter because I realized that when I did it the first time, I wasn't a believer. I also didn't know what it was about. And later, understanding that baptism is a symbol of faith, a declaration that I'm going to serve Jesus Christ, I did it. I did fight with God a bit before I did it because I thought, well, I've already done it. But God definitely had a plan for me. I believe he still does. As a 12-year-old, I ended up becoming a youth leader. I got a chance to, had an opportunity to go learn leadership skills and do different training and all sorts of things that seemed to follow me through my life, little leadership opportunities. Some of it led to pride and arrogance, the things that which I still fight today. I try to be a good boy, but there were sins hiding in my heart still. Not tracking well with my notes here. I understand today, I'm going to sidetrack a little bit, I understand today that to be saved means to trust Jesus Christ. I believe that's what Adam's sin was in the Garden of Eden. I believe that he decided not to trust in God, and that's what led him to the fall that we all struggle and experience today. And that when we believe in Jesus Christ, when we trust him for our salvation, we trust that the only way for us to go to heaven, the only way for us to not go to hell, is to put our faith in him. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:1 that without faith is it impossible to please him. Sorry, Hebrews 11:6. So without faith it's impossible to please him. And I have faith in Jesus Christ. You have a good name. I want it to be associated with someone who trust in Jesus Christ. I've repented of my sins. God is faithful. And I know that when I die, that I'll be going to heaven because Jesus Christ paid the price for my sins. He died on the cross for me. I tell you that because I think that is the biggest testimony. Jesus died for us and he changes us. During high school, I had the opportunity to lead Bible studies. I was a cabin leader, a youth group leader, eventually became a camp director at one point. I argued with teachers about evolution, but I was also proud. During a crusade in Port Alberni in year 2000, I was convicted of pride and other sins in my life, that God wants to be the head, the Lord of our life, that it's not enough just to be called a Christian, but we need to live a life of sanctification, repentance, and keeping our faith in Him. I also learned that God preserved His word for us. I believe that God has given us His word. I believe He's given it to us in English, that we don't have to go back only to the Hebrew and the Greek, that we can trust Him in His words. I also believe that there are manuscripts, there are Bibles out there that are corrupted. But God showed me that I can put my faith in His word. Romans 10:17 says, "Without faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God." If we have faith in Jesus Christ, it's only because we hear the word of God. And I believe that from that point on, I had more perhaps dutiful desire to read God's word. And so I spent time reading the Bible daily, tried to put time in for Him. I even had a theory at one point that if our day is, say, 16 hours long, wouldn't I put an hour and a half in the word every day? That would be like tithing to Him. Don't think I've ever put an hour and a half in just in the morning spending time in the Word, but I frequently will spend half an hour, 45 minutes with God every day. And if I don't do that, when I don't spend time with God's Word, my armor's off. I know that I'm weak, and if there's a struggle that day, that's why. I always know it goes back to the fact that I haven't put my armor on. God is gracious, and He's protected me so many times, but I need to put my armor on. Over the past 3 years, I'm going to skip a big section of my testimony, but over the past 3 years, I've had a much greater excitement for Scripture. It is our food. It's our nourishment. Jesus says, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I'm excited when I read my Bible. Kirk has reflected to me a couple times. He sees me all glowing when I start talking about the Bible. I love reading God's word. I want to shift here. I think I want you guys to be encouraged in Scripture. I open my Bible in the morning. I got a bunch of pens in my hand, different colors, and I just start reading Scripture, and I see something in a verse, and I realize that there's more to it. There's connections to other verses, and I start writing. When some of our Bibles already have different Scripture references already built into them, I just get excited and start going, oh, that makes me think of this, and I start writing it down and connecting ideas, and I have different theme colors. And so if you start reading into my Bible, you'd see underlinings and scribbles, and maybe not legible, but I get very excited to read it. Isaiah 28 says, "Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast? For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little." And that's exactly what I found very exciting in my time. I get into the Bible and I see precept building upon precept and line upon line, here a little, there a little, Old Testament, New Testament. God has made this Bible so it's gelled together. There's just so much connected. It's amazing because this couldn't have been written by 40 different people without the hand of God in there, without God speaking through them. Timothy was told by Paul, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy and laying of hands of the presbytery. Meditate on these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." But continue thou in them which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, and knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make these wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I think if I want to have a good name, it's got to be through God's word. If there's a legacy onto my children, or anybody else that hears me, it's trying to be a man of the word and trying to share the word of God that make thee wise unto salvation. I want to be wise unto salvation, it's through God's word. Study to show thyself approved unto God. And I think there it is, right there. A good name is rather to be chosen. I want to be approved unto God. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Rightly dividing the word of truth. It is right for us to spend time in God's word, going from one place to another, and asking him to lead us and teach us from his word. I've had hidden sin in my life that God has conquered, because God is good. The times where God will convict and furrow the fallow ground, that's going to be the times where we're spending time in his word and saying, "Lord, you can change me." I have prayed that God would purge me in my life, and I've had God hear that prayer and go in and start plowing and purging, and those times are hard, but God is faithful. He's good for the perfecting of the saints. He wants to make the man of God perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. I don't know how to excite everybody here. I'm not looking for an emotional response, but I hope that in your heart that you can be excited for God's word, like I'm excited for God's word. If faith comes by hearing the word of God, then we need to be listening to what God has to say. We need to spend time in his word if you want to grow in faith. Why do you want to grow in faith? Because Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith it's impossible to please him. This morning I read from 1 Thessalonians 4:5, and there's hope because Jesus Christ is coming again. And Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, things not yet seen. And we don't see Christ coming yet, but he's coming. That also excites me. I hope that everyone here has a hope for Jesus Christ coming again. I keep going back to Hebrews, and there's another reason. Because Hebrews 11:2, I can find my Hebrews. My Iwana verse is going on in my head. Hebrews and the book of James. Through faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. Oh, I'm sorry, I read verse 3. For it by the elders obtained a good report. So through faith, we can have a good name. Through faith in Jesus Christ. I'm going to fast forward in my testimony now. If I have time. Am I good with time, Don? My parents' family, my parents are broken. I grew up thinking that my father, what he spoke was essentially doctrine, was good doctrine, and I had faith in what he said prior to being married. I've since learned that my father is, or my dad, stepdad, I'll call him, not my father, my heavenly father, is God. My stepdad was unfaithful to my mom for all 27 years of their marriage, which is just broken apart and is hard. He used God's word to manipulate. He likes to find people that are weak and put them underneath him. And he is very controlling. And it was very hard when I first got married. Heather and I got married because I tried to honor them, and I had big difficulties with my parents trying to have control, trying to break us up, and not being part of our wedding, and being in and out of our lives at different times, to find out 2 years ago that this man, fits Timothy 4:1, First Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. So I grew up, and in spite of growing up with someone who was manipulating people for his own end, for the gospel, someone who liked to point out other sins because it took the light off of his own sins, someone who has been destructive, God has still drawn me to him and to his word. And I am very thankful to the Lord for that, because if God didn't work in me, then I would be still in the situation that I was in before. And it was one of destruction. And the fruit has come to be seen in that destruction. Sometimes it's hard to see the fruit right away. I had idolatry when I believed every word that my dad said was the truth. But later God showed me, through studying his word and being a Berean — Bereans were more noble than Thessalonians because they looked into the word to see whether they were true. They looked through the scriptures to see with what Paul was saying was true. So God showed me, and God saved me out of that. And I can't tell you how thankful I am for that. But God is good. I've had hard times. I've had very destructive times in my life. That may be another testimony time. I don't know. But if what comes out of it is that I trust God's word all the stronger, all the more. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 talk about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Sven mentioned that temperance is one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And if everybody knows what you do with metal, to temper metal, it requires heat and it requires hammering. So temperance doesn't come without heat and without hammering. God has allowed me to go through heat and hammering in my life and has tempered me. Not to say that I have a good temper. That's a weakness that God is still working on me. Thank you for hearing what I had to say. I have more verses, and I just quickly check. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And in John, both John and in 1 John, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And his commandments are his Bible. So I encourage you, spend time in the Word. Love to spend time in the Word. If you don't love to spend time in the Word, David actually said, I love thy Word, I love thy precepts in Psalm 119. If you don't love the Word, ask God to give you a love for the Word. I believe if you ask him to give you a love for the Word, he will give you a love for the Word. Okay? Thank you, Lord. I'm just going to pray. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to stand up here, share a piece of my life, and to share something that is so important to me in my life. And I know without your Spirit, without your Word, that I would just be dead. But it's the Spirit that quickeneth. Your Spirit gives life. And you've given me life. Thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross, that you rose again, that you took my sin, you bore it on the cross, and it's gone, it's paid for. Thank you that you've caused me to be on short account with you, to be live a life of repentance, to live a life where I give you sins when they come, to captivate every thought in obedience to Christ. And thank you that you are so amazing, you are so big, that you have given your Word to all of us here. I trust and I ask for your protection on everybody here and your blessing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.